standing on the promises of God. That's all we really have going for us. Amen. When we think about all that's going on in our society today, all that's going on in the world today, I'm afraid with all of those things that are taking place that it is extremely possible that we as God's people could get easily derailed. We could get easily become losing our focus and forgetting about, not intentionally, but perhaps forgetting about the promises of God. With all of the different setbacks, with all the things that's taking place in the lives of so many people today, excuse me, I do understand that it could be easy to lose focus and forget about those beautiful promises that we read about in God's Word. I'm afraid that we may forget that God has made a promise to us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to make sure that we never forget that God promises us that as we are tempted in this life and trials that come around, I want you to always remember, and you and me together, let's always remember that God stands on His promises. Do you agree with that? And we together, as a group of God's people, we together can stand on those beautiful promises of God. I appreciate so much what God tells us in His Word over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, down in verse 13, how He will not allow temptation to come into our life that is too great for me and you to bear. He gives us a promise in that passage of Scripture. He's not going to take us through it. He's going to give us the strength to get through it. Amen? So it's up to you and me on if we're going to overcome that trial and temptation. I'm also afraid that perhaps many times people forget that God's strength can and will supply every need that you and I have. But we are reminded in the book of Philippians chapter 4, down in around verse 19, where the Bible says, "And my God shall supply all of your need according to the riches in glory by who? By Christ Jesus." And I hope that we're not forgetting God's promise. I hope that we're not forgetting the promises that He gives to each and every one of us, that even facing difficult times, even facing these trials, that you and I can make it. We can get through this. There's no need of throwing in the towel. There's no need of giving up. There's no need of grabbing and connecting with bad attitude, because the Bible tells us, "I can do all things through Christ," Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 13. But sadly, by the conduct of so many people in our world today, it is apparent that some people in the world, some people even members of the body of Christ, perhaps have forgotten that all things work out for the good for those that love the Lord. You see that over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, down around verse 28. So listen, every single accountable human being today, you need to know, and I need to know, that we must have God's strength to be able to continue on. Does that make sense? We cannot. Let me go ahead and share this with you. You cannot do this on your own. Look at the good grammar. There ain't no way. You've got to have God to be able to get you through these tough, difficult times. Amen? All right. So I assure you that each and every one of us were at one time in our lives, perhaps you're in there now, but at one time or another, every single accountable human being has found themselves in the valley. Have you ever found yourself in the valley? Maybe in the valley of temptation, in the valley of trial, in the valley of sicknesses, in the valley of doubt, in the valley of discouragement. All these different things that Satan uses to try to lure you back into his snare. All these different things that Satan uses to try to make you think, well, what the use of trying? Why will I even continue on? But I want you to know, and God wants us to know, that He will see us through these difficult times. He will, if we will stand on His promises, He'll see us through our trials. He'll see us through these tribulations. But we have to trust in His deliverance. Amen? And we've got to trust in God's timing. God's timing is not our timing. Does that make any sense? So make sure that we are putting our reliance not on ourselves, not on the preacher, not on the teacher, not on the song leader, but put your reliance upon our Heavenly Father. It is God and only God that can deliver and will deliver His people. So I want to remind all of us this day to remember. To remember to take a stand and to stand upon the promises of God. There's not many things that's really firm anymore in our world. Years ago, even when I was a young boy, I remember when you made a deal with somebody, all you did was shook hands with them, and that was good as done, wasn't it? But now, it's not like that now. You've got to have an agreement, and then a bill of sale, and then a contract, and when you get those three items, don't stop there. You've got to go get it notarized, and then you've got to get it publicized, and you've got to do all these different things, because there's just not much that man has to offer anymore. But I submit to you today that God's promises are real. God's promises are solid. God's promises are promises that you can take right on to heaven with you. Do you get that, brothers and sisters? So today, I want you to repeat these words with me. Standing on His promises. Let's do it together. Standing on His promises. That's what I want you to remember when you leave the building today. So all of us, every single one of us, face trials from time to time. Isn't that about right? I can think of people in the Bible, many Bible characters, some back in the early Bible days, that faced difficulties and challenges. I can remember and think about people in the New Testament that are facing difficulties and have been facing difficulties. Does anybody in the congregation today know of a guy named Noah? Do you think Noah faced difficulties and challenges? Do you think that when Noah was building this great big ark that people perhaps made fun of him? Do you think that when he was telling people, you need to respond, you need to come on board, they've never even seen rain before. Well, now he's telling them, it's going to start raining, I guess. We got a lot of water that's on its way, so you better do right. People laughed at him. They just continued to marry. They continued to do the things that they were doing. No regard as to what Noah was saying. Perhaps Noah, like many preachers today, like many teachers today, like many song leaders today, like many workers in the church today, maybe he became soon discouraged. I don't think so. Noah stood on the promises of God, didn't he? Amen? And did he build the ark? Did he do it successfully? Did he save lives as a result? Did he save his own soul as a result? Say it like you mean it. Amen. We think about Moses. We can think about how Moses was one of God's people. And I'm sure that there was challenges in what he did. I think about David, King David. And I think about the challenges that he suffered, even though he'd done a lot of things that brought these problems on himself. Conspiracy to murder, adultery with Bathsheba, several different things that he caught himself up in. But what did he do? Did he take ownership in what he did? Did he take ownership in what he did, congregation? That's a great big yes. And we know that there were some challenges involved, but what did he do? He stood on the promises of God. What about a guy named Job? Has anybody heard of Job? Job is a man, Teresa, that he had everything. He had a great family. He had riches. Everything was pretty well secured for him. And then here come old Satan in the picture, didn't he? He says, yeah, you got a good guy with Job. You should, because, heck, everything's been handed to him. He's got it made. Well, take a few things away from him. I guarantee you he'll fall. The Lord said, don't touch his life, that you can't kill him. Job began to lose things, didn't he? Didn't he? And when he began to lose things, we know that he lost his value, he lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost many, many different things. So cattle, family, all that, but thankfully he still had his health. No, he lost that too, didn't he? But at least, even though now he's lost his family, his wealth, his health and all that, thankfully he still had his wife to support him. No, not anymore, because she had told him, she's the one that says, don't you have anything left about you, boy? Won't you just what? And then what? And die. Thank you. I appreciate that support. What a great wife. Paula, don't ever tell me that. But won't you just curse God and die, is what she told him. And then he had those three friends that come to his rescue. I don't need friends like that, do we? So did Job endure? Did Job endure, congregation? Yes, he did. Did Job stand up on the promises of his father? Yes, he did. So when we think about another guy, Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 22, Abraham loved his boy. I don't remember his name. I think it started with an I. Was it Isaac? Did he tell Isaac to take him up on a mountain and kill him? All right, so did he do that? Did he take him up on a mountain? Yeah, did he kill him? I heard a couple yeses. I got a new lesson starting on Wednesday night. It's going to be Abraham in Genesis 22. But he told him to take his son, his only son, up to the mountain and offer him as a what? Starts with an S. Very good, Jerry, a sacrifice. And was he willing to do it, actually? Yes. What was he going to use to kill him? It was a 38 or a 357. And he had a Smith & Wesson 350. Heather's shaking her head. What was he going to use? He was going to use Heather's real knife, Jerry. He was going to use a knife. And when he raised his arm to slay his son, who stopped him? An angel of the Lord stopped him, didn't he? And said, harm that kid. Don't hurt him. Let him go. I'm paraphrasing. And then Abraham and the lad, did you notice that word lad I used? Young lad. Lad went back down, because you remember what he promised? He said, the lad and I will go, and then we shall what? We shall return. Look at the faith that he had in God. he was willing to make that sacrifice had God required it. Does that make sense? Abraham was successful because Abraham was standing on... Very good. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked, but he continued on. The Apostle Paul was snake bitten, but he continued on. The Apostle Paul was trying to be, or was being tracked down by some of his own people who was ready to kill him, but he continued on. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest evangelists besides Jesus that I've ever read about. Amen? I wonder how he did that. You think he was ever discouraged? I'm sure he was. But he was successful in God's endeavors for him because he was standing. Ultimately, we know that Jesus Christ himself, when we read in the Bible, the one that stood on the promises of the Father, it has to be Jesus Christ, who went through more than anybody could ever even imagine. You and I cannot put into human words today. We cannot put it in terms where anyone can even understand it, what Jesus went through for you and for me, for sinners like us. Jesus, I heard another preacher say the other day when I was listening to his lesson, and it grabbed my attention, but he says, Jesus became sin. And I disagreed with that for a moment. I thought, no, he didn't become sin. But he did become sin because he took whose? Our what? To the what? But so, and what was put on that cross? The sin of the world. He took all of our sin. He didn't take just our sin. What else did he take? Starts with a G. Our guilt. Very good. He took our sin. He took our guilt. Not only did he take our sin and guilt, he also took our punishment, didn't he? Say amen like you really appreciate it. All right, so when he took our punishment, you know what that means for you and me, Nina? It means that we've got salvation. Because if he had not taken our punishment, if he had not taken our guilt, taken our sin, Darlene, we wouldn't get to heaven. But this Jesus I'm telling you about took every bit of that, Bobby. And now you and I get to go to heaven because of what Jesus did. Amen? So today, let me encourage you. When we think we're faced with difficulties, and sometimes we are, I'm not minimizing that. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, to stand on the promises of Almighty God. Amen? Let's stand on His promises. We are all, every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we do, we are faced with these challenges. Each of us today needs God's strength to do what He's calling us to do. Let's all resolve today to stand on His promises to take care and to provide for His people. But there's a contingency. And it's a contingency that we seek Him first. Amen? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a passage I give you almost every Sunday. Matthew 6, 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give him the next part. And then, so don't think today that God is giving you a journey to take. Don't think today that God's giving you a job to do and then not equipping you to do it. If we're putting Him first and foremost in our lives, He's equipping us, brothers and sisters, with what we need as long as you and I together are willing to stand. All right, are you ready for your first point? All right, here it is. As we talk about the promises of God, here's the first one. God promises us strength when we are sad and weeping. How many people beside the preacher cry sometimes? Three of us. How many in here are liars? All of you. And how many of us have cried from time to time in our lives? Amen? Dana says all the time. Every time she gets her NES bill and Metro water bills when I cry. She's back to like, how did I get drug into this? But there are times that we all cry. There's times that we all weep. Maybe you're not a very emotional person, but there's times that you just feel like, or maybe you know the words, I just want to be left. I knew I wasn't the only one guilty. I just want to be left alone. Sometimes when difficulties are on us, we don't want to hear the phone ring, do we? Sometimes we don't want to open up the mail. Sometimes we don't even want to, somebody's knocking on the door, we don't care. Go away. Say, I'm not the only one guilty. But the reality is, that's not how we should be. We should be at that point remembering what Jesus went through, remembering what God is providing for you and for me. But God gives us strength when we're sad and we're weeping. How do you individually handle sad news? How do you handle things that are not comfortable? How do you handle things that doesn't fit comfortably into your life? How do you handle these things? I'm personally very emotional, and it doesn't take long if I hear things sad for me to get upset. I can still think about Charlie at that restaurant. I thought about him the other day because of what Wes did and started crying again. And Paul's like, why do you cry every time you think about what Charlie? I can do it right now. It's getting me. All he said was it was about a straw in his glass, but it just got me. So I get emotional very easy. I'm not ashamed of that. Some men are. I'm not. I get emotional very, very easy. But how do you handle it? Does tears ever roll down your cheeks? If it does, nothing wrong with that. How do you handle it when things happen to you that you have no control over? Or you didn't contribute to these things, but you're becoming a victim of a bad circumstance. Has that ever happened? Maybe you find yourself a victim in a bad relationship. I did everything I could to maintain. I did everything I could to contribute good things to the relationship, and it went south. What do you do then? How do you handle that situation? How do you handle it when your mate of some 30-plus years or 40 years or 50 years comes to you and tells you, I don't want to be married to you anymore? And perhaps you're a newlywed and you thought everything was going hunky-dory. Everything was perfect. You're building a great life together. And all of a sudden, you find out that your wife or your husband just don't want to be with you anymore. I'm choosing a different lifestyle. I'm going a different direction. What do you do then? How do you handle that hurt? How do you handle that pain? How do you handle it when your employer comes to you and says, hey, I know that you've been with the company 35 years. I got bad news for you today. We're shutting it down. The company's going across seas. We're going to be doing things out of there from now on. 30 years, 35 years, 40 years of employment is now gone. What about when you walk into your job, you know, and you're becoming my age? You're about to hit 60 years old, and all of a sudden you see some new people sitting there. They're in their early 20s, and then they say, oh, by the way, Jerry, we're restructuring. Anybody ever heard those words? It's not real comfortable, is it? We're restructuring. We're just changing. We're going a different direction. Why don't they just say it the right way? You're fired. And let's just get right to it. And give me my severance and let me go to the house. That didn't happen yet. I'll look for it any time. When and how do you handle it? When the doctor walks in there and gives you that news, yes, it is cancer, or yes, it is terminal. How do you handle it when you get that phone call from the military, or perhaps you hear that person knock on the door and you open the door and there are two military officers standing there with tears in their eyes saying your daughter or your son didn't make it while they was out fighting for the freedom that you have today? How do you handle that pain? What would a mother and daddy do? How does a mom and dad respond to that? Brothers and sisters, this is the real deal. This happens on a daily basis. But how do you handle that pain? I'm not trying to sound very dramatic this morning, I promise. That's not my intention. But folks, I want you to know that people in our world today are hurting. Did you know that? People are hurting for many different reasons. And there's a lot of things that bring pain. There's a lot of things that happen in life that can make us feel like we're being rejected. There's a lot of things that happen in this life that can make us feel alone. I want you to know today, you're never alone. God gives us a blessed assurance that He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. You see that in the book of Hebrews. You see that in Matthew 28 when He told His guys to go out and make disciples of all the nations. He said, you teach everybody you can, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Thank you, Bobby. Even to the end of age, even to the end of time. I'm pleased to tell you this morning that our God, our Creator, will deliver us. Amen? He'll deliver you through whatever situation you're in. He will provide for you and me as we are weeping and we're falling under these struggles and cares. God promises us that He cares. If you look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and you look at verses 6 and 7, the Scripture says, Therefore, humble yourselves under the who? Mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, that He may pick you up, that He may get you off of your back. Amen? That He may exalt you. He, God's going to lift you up, and He's going to do it when? In due time. Is that what the Bible says? In due time. Watch this. Casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Does God care for us? How do you know that? Thank you, Jerry. Because the Bible said so. Now let's look at what's going on in the book of Isaiah. Let's see what the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 41 and in verse 10. Is everybody there? Is everybody there? All right, Isaiah 41:10, the Scripture says, fear not. Watch this. Fear what? For I, God, am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your who? I'm your God. So does He have your attention? All right, now are you noticing some encouragement already? Here's our Creator, Jared, saying, fear not, I'm God, I am your God. So He's talking, even though He's talking to Isaiah, He's talking to me and you, isn't He? Mm-hmm. And He says to us, Jared, Jerry, Bobby, Ashley, He's telling all of us, I will what you? I'm going to strengthen you. Tabitha, He's making it clear. He says, yes, I will help you. And Esther, he's saying, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Is that what he said to everybody? So this applies to how many people? All of us. As they say at work, everybody. Everybody is taken care of. Is that right? All right. So, do you believe what the Lord told Isaiah? All right, then let's go on down to verse 13. The scripture says, for I, the Lord your God, I'm going to do what? And I'm going to say to you, come on. So do you believe what you just read? So when we're down and we feel like we're being smothered by life difficulties, let us be reminded of what he told this great prophet Isaiah. Now head over to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We know, every single one of us knows, that we go through the waters and the rivers of difficulty, don't we? Do y'all agree with that? We travel through that and the waters just beat us to death. And, you know, there are times of uncertainty that we walk through the fires of life. You've heard people say, I just feel like I've been laying in a fire. You've heard that expression. You know, the fire has cooked me. I'm done. I'm well done. Put a fork in me. You hear all these different things that people are saying. But family of God, we must remember again what the Lord is saying to Isaiah in Isaiah 43 and in verse 2. Are y'all ready? The Bible says, when you pass through the waters, I will what? So when you're in that, when you feel like you're being tossed about in this world, when you're tossed about by these big waves that come your way and mine, don't fear. God is with us. Amen? Because, and he's with us because today we are standing on. All right, now keep going. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the what? You're not going to get burned. Does the Bible say that, Teresa? Yes, the Bible says you're not going to be burned. Nor shall the flame even what? Scorch you. Do you see the comfort that we have? And I'm convinced today, brothers and sisters, when God makes this promise, I want us to remember, no matter how difficult things are, remember that God has got this. Amen? No matter what is said or done, God's got this. Heading back in the book of Psalm, let me show you something else. In the book of Psalm, let's go to 34. Psalm chapter 34, and I want us to read verses, what, 17 through 19? We're going to look at something there that I think you'll like. So God, once again, he promises us strength when we're sad, doesn't he? When we're stuck in the valley and we can't seem to get to the top of that mountain, remember that he's there for us. Psalms 34, go with me, 17 through what? The righteous, the Christian, the follower, the disciple, those that love the Lord. You ready? The Bible says the righteous cry out, and what happens? So the word cry out means what? Pray. Very good. So when we pray to our Father, when we're calling upon the name of the Lord, is that good? Is everybody in agreement? All right, look. So the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. I like that promise in itself. And delivers them out of all their trouble. Did you notice that? Eventually, there will be no more trouble. Because eventually, those that are faithful will be with God in heaven. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such that has a contrite spirit. 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Are y'all ready? But the Lord delivers him out of them. Thank you, Heather. Every last one of them. So the problems that you're facing today, the difficulty that you're up against, that wall that you just can't seem to get over to get through, that mountain you just can't seem to get to the top of, those bars that you can't get through, just no matter how hard you tried, there's a day coming that you're going to get around that. Amen? There's a day coming that God's going to deliver you. So remember to stand on the promises of God. Why? Because he promises strength to those that are sad and those that are weeping and those that are having difficulties. Do you agree with that? All right. Are you ready for point two? Y'all ready for point two? I just want to make sure everybody, because three people responded. So I can see it from up here. Heather, you don't think I can, but I can because I got four eyes. Okay. Y'all ready? Now, for all you wearing glasses, I didn't mean don't get offended because my sister went, what? Velma getting up and leaving, so okay, we're doing good. Now, Esther puts hers on wanting attention. Look. Did you see that, Tabitha? Tabitha's my eyewitness. Your second point is this. God promises us strength. I wonder how many people besides me is guilty of this when we wrestle against sin. Yeah, a lot of people in agreement. I'm not the only one that wrestles against sin, huh? We all have. Harvey's back in the back. Harvey's already told me before, Jerry, you and I in the same boat. And just keep water under us, not inside the boat with us, Harvey. So God promises us strength when we wrestle against sin. Every single child of God is in war with Satan. Amen? How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. Who's out there roaming around like a roaring lion? It is my aunt. That's who. I shouldn't say that. I'm on Facebook. Sorry. But who is... I am so in trouble with the laughing. So who is it that's out there roaming around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? So the devil is out there, isn't he? And he's seeking whom he may devour. So do you remember when I opened the lesson up a while ago? Amy, do you remember this when I said he creates doubt? Do you remember that? Do you remember when I said he creates confusion? Do you remember when I said he wants to try to render us worthless to the church? Do you remember, Teresa, when I said he don't want us to think that we can do this through Christ? But Jesus reminds us, Heather, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do y'all like that? Okay, Tika, you like it? Okay. All right, so I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, that the devil has a lot of tools that he's using today to try to lure Christians, the child of God, back into his snare. Do y'all agree with that? Do you think he uses social networking to bring people back to him? People don't like that. I kind of like my social networking. Don't say nothing about that. Social networking, because of the improper use of it, has caused divorces. There are women that have left their husband because they met the guy who described himself on social networking. And I don't know if y'all knew that, but in social networking, I'm 6'1", dark complected, no fever blister, not fat, nice shoes. I am loaded out until you see me in person. But remember, you can't lie on the internet, right? But there are people, as silly as that sounds, there are people that have, seriously speaking, Jerry and I know somebody that this happened to. Lives right there in the neighborhood, a few doors up from me. I had one of my relatives that it happened to. And his wife, one of my relatives' wives kept saying, I want a computer. He says, we don't need a computer. You got a computer at work, but I want it home. And it was just a battle constantly. Dana knows who it is. And then he finally got it for her, and it wasn't 3 months. She was gone. See ya, buddy. Met somebody online. That's pretty pathetic, isn't it? Nothing wrong with networking as long as it's done in the right way. The media, you think that can cause problems? You know, I talk about this. I'm not going to let it go. Y'all know you're thinking, well, he's not going to bring up the cheeseburger. Yes, I am. I'm going to bring up the cheeseburger because y'all seen that very suggestive, pathetic, and I won't even go there because of it. Y'all seen the Hardee's commercial with this half-naked woman grabs a big cheeseburger, and she's, now, why do you have to advertise a cheeseburger with a two-piece bikini on? Why can't you get somebody like me, a fat boy who likes to eat, why can't you get me to say, man, these are good, but because it wouldn't sell, would it, Bobby? But we live in a society where these two words people don't like. Sex sells, doesn't it? So why do you think that they use it? Why do you think when these cars are being sold, like Hunter's Custom Automotive, you don't see Aunt Helga out there advertising you can get running boards on the side of your vehicle? You don't see Agatha out there saying, you know, with one tooth and saying, hey, come on in today and get this done. Get you a set of seat covers. You don't. You see somebody out there that is, according to the worldly standards, dressed like people of the world, don't you? Are we in agreement? Don't fall victim to that mess, okay? Media can grab your attention and will pull you back into a snare that you can't hardly get out of. Agreed? The electronic world today has separated children from their parents. Did you know that? Separating children from the parents. Kids will... You know what? It is a horrible... Get mad if you want to. I don't care. I got grandkids and I got a kid. So holler if you want to. I do not care. The reality is these electronics are separating their children. Now, I've seen kids that don't even know how to look up anymore. They're going to have scoliosis. Is that the right word? Scoliosis? Arteriosclerosis? Anyway, you're going to be all bent over by the time you get 40. Straighten up. Stand up. Look up. You might see something one day that you like. I'm not trying to be mean, but seriously, you don't even see parents and children having dinner together anymore. You don't see that. When I go to a restaurant, it makes me so angry, but Paula says, just hush, just hush. You can't do anything about it. But you see it all the time. You're sitting in a restaurant. This one's on his phone. That one's on his phone. This one's on his phone. And you're thinking, well, at least the dad don't have his out. And then about that time, he burps, and then he pulls his phone out. and everything is done. Mama's on her phone. And then we want to wonder why in the world our families are separated? There it is. He's going to use electronic things to pull you back. Nothing wrong with electronics. Kids, go play with what you want. Daddies and mamas, go play with what you want. But let's use it the right way. Is that okay? Don't let those things become your babysitters. And don't let those things become being parents. We are parents. We are grandparents. Take care of the kids. When they need a butt warming, you give them a butt warming. Does that matter? Don't say, well, you're just not going to be able to play your little PlayStation for 2 weeks. Because you're going to give it back to them anyway because you're tired of being in the kitchen with you. The reality is, I was talking to Jay. He's doing a lot better. But I said, in our house, Jerry didn't like it too well. Jerry brought him a B+. He goes, Dad, look how good this is. I said, but you didn't get an A. And he said, Dad, don't be silly. Now, come on. I said, well, then maybe you need to spend more time. Well, I tried. I said, you did. Did you talk to the guidance counselor? Did you go talk to the teacher? Did you get some tutoring? He goes, it's a B. And I said, but it could have been an A. So we're going to go rest of the week. Matter of fact, we're going to do it on Saturdays only for 2 hours a day. Jerry's had a true statement. 2 hours on Saturdays that he could play his little, back then it was called Sega Genesis. Do y'all remember that? I remember because I had to pay for it from H.H. Gregg, and I'm still pouting. In the book of Ephesians, get over here with me, we got to go. Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, keeping this in mind, guys and girls, there's a lot of things that can try that he uses. Do y'all think he uses suggestive literature to bring us back? Do you think he uses, could he use people to bring you back into his snare? Can he put someone in your life that can cause you to become derailed? All right, so we just have to be careful. But I want you to think about the number of people today that you know, some that was members of this congregation, some that members of the body of Christ that don't go to church anywhere anymore. They got caught back up in the world. They're not horrible people. They're just lost, aren't they? The Bible tells us that we can fight against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. I love what the Lord provides. Let's go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the how much? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the what day? And having done all to do what? So I appreciate y'all with me on this. Go 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is, brothers and sisters, the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? Are you liking it so far? Did you get a chill bump? If you didn't, you need to respond to the invitation. And then praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication, for the Bible says the saints. So also think about this. I think about what Paul told young Timothy. I have to bring that back up. Timothy was going through some struggles. Y'all remember that? There was people making fun of him, Bobby, because he's a young guy. And they're like, how can this young tot be out here preaching like that? And he told him, he said, don't let anybody despise your youth, for one. But here's how he can equip himself. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Finish it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of God. So let's be reminded of what Peter said as well. Do y'all remember what Peter said? In 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 through 18. Okay, let's go that one. 2 Peter 3:14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him, talking about the Lord, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the, finish it, the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now, and the Bible says, forever. And then we know that we all wrestle against sin. We wrestle against the devil. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16 talks to you about that. And then over in the book of Matthew chapter 4, down in verse 7, please remember, When our Savior was faced with temptation, do you know what he did? Does anybody know? He quoted what? Thank you, Heather. Heather's on fire today. He quoted Scripture. Look at Matthew 4:7. Jesus said, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And going back up to verse 4, Matthew 4:4 as well. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of" who? "From the mouth of God." Listen, though we are faced with temptation after temptation and trial after trial, please know that God will see us through it. If we desire to overcome, Jesus tells us and God tells us that we can overcome. Psalm 119:9-11. So today let me encourage you again to stand on the promises, His promises, because God promises to strengthen us while we are tempted in and struggling with sin. Amen? Third and final point in this lesson, we'll go home with you. Here's your third and last point. God promises us strength when we're working for Him. Do you get that? Do you think any of the workers of the Lord sometimes can grow weary? Do you think sometimes we work with the Lord, sometimes we just may get tired? Sometimes people just get worn out. There are many times that as one is working for the Lord, that he or she might become discouraged from time to time. Perhaps one becomes discouraged because of some negative comment that somebody may say or something happens. Working in the vineyard of the Lord is hard. It's hard work. It's very difficult. We've got to be careful not to become soon discouraged. And we need to make sure that we understand that you might become discouraged if you don't feel like much is being accomplished. There's been a lot of people that said, "Well, I've tried to do this, I tried to do that, and I just haven't seen much change, so I'm done." I was guilty of that when I first came here, and boy, did I make that mistake. I got caught by the door, and I was scared. And we were talking one Wednesday night, and I just said, "You know, I'm just not sure that this is working for me or for you. I don't see a lot of church growth and not a lot of things happening, so I feel like maybe we need to maybe talk about looking in a different direction for both of us." And little did I know that there was a lot more spiritual growth, and I was judging people, and I was in violation, wasn't I? I was wrong, so I learned a lesson on that, and then sis hit me on the other arm, and it hurt really bad. But we need to make sure that we're not soon discouraged. There was a lot of, they don't like to use this word, there's a lot of junk that was going on in the church at Corinth. There was some sexual immorality that was taking place, and they thought, "Well, it's okay, we understand." No, it's not okay. If you're a child of God, sin's not okay, amen? And you know what? I think that's the problem we're having in our culture today. Some of these preachers try to overlook everything because they're under pew pressure. Not peer pressure, pew pressure. If you have a small number, the preacher's not doing his job, but if it's packed, he's doing a great job. It don't matter what comes out of his mouth. It don't matter if it's the oracles of God or not. That's a bunch of baloney. If it's not the oracles of God, he's not doing anything but talking. He's not preaching, amen? So we've got to make sure that we do it the right way. Paul told the church at Corinth, says, "Hey, I know that some of you are working and working hard." In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Is that cool or not? So whatever you're doing today, you keep it up. Song leaders, you just keep on singing no matter what anybody may say. Is that all right? Preachers, keep on preaching no matter what anybody may say. Public prayer leaders, you keep on praying. Don't you worry about it. If you pray 1 minute or 13 minutes, we're going to make fun of you, but you'll never know it. That didn't sound right, did it? But just keep on praying. It doesn't matter. Keep praying. Do I get an amen? All right, teachers, keep on teaching. Thank God we've got people that are standing in front of a group and teach about Jesus Christ. Amen? And Him crucified. Building maintenance workers, are they important? Absolutely. Don't worry about it if somebody says something negative. Maybe the bulb's too bright, or it's not bright enough, or maybe the bulb is blown, so who do we criticize for that? Don't be taking criticism. Don't fall into that. If you're one that works behind the scenes today, keep on working behind the scenes, but in the presence of God. Amen? Don't let any negative comments wear you down. Let those negative comments go in, sink in, and then vandalize later. We don't have to worry about it, right? Y'all should have caught that. No, Jerry, we're going to pray for them. Okay. So Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So listen, don't give up, brothers and sisters. God wants us to stand on the promises of God as we close our lesson this morning. In the book of John, chapter 14, down in verse 2. John 14, down in verse 2 and 3, watch this promise. Are y'all there? The Bible says, in my Father's house are many what? If it were not so, I would have what? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I, Jesus Christ, will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there. If you love that promise, say amen. All right, so that's what I'm longing for, brothers and sisters. I want to be prepared, because there's been a prepared place for prepared people. Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you to become one. Don't get caught up in that snare of Satan trying to render you worthless to the church. Don't let him hold you back and say, now's not the time. Get things right with God today. If you're not a Christian, you hear his word. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live your life faithful unto Jesus Christ, standing on his promises. And live faithful to death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you are a Christian. You've wandered from the fold. You've erred from the truth. You need prayers to help you in your walk with Christ. Let us know. Let us pray with you, for you, help you, and encourage you any way that we can. If you need anything at all, you're welcome to come right now. Together we stand in peace.